looking at you, hockey puck. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Nice night, huh? I was upstairs laying on the bed thinking about the moves I was going to make with the wife. She was in the other room with a Pepsi bottle going, wah, 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 wah. Weirdo, weirdo, shakes Pepsi bottles to get me in heat. Get horny when you're up here, you know what I mean? Mexicans, you never fool around with the wife, right? You're too busy laying on the floor fixing the mud so it don't cave in. They never fool with the wives, the Mexicans. They're walking around the house going, turn on the television. Turn on the television. But if it weren't for you people, we'd never have filth.
The Don and Mike Show.
Come and stem their roads. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right. Don Rickles, his book, a memoir. Rickles' book is called A Memoir. Get it at Amazon.com.
What you gonna do with all
He'll be at the Hilton, Atlantic City, August 10th through 12th. I'm excited, but not as excited as Mike, not as excited as Rob.
Oh, my God.
Let me just turn this down and turn on the music.
Hold on, we got it.
For the first time in our radio history, let's welcome to the Don and Mike Show, Rickles.
The great Don Rickles.
Don Rickles.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, yeah, that's me. 30 hours I was waiting, yeah.
Sorry we made you wait.
I have to say, I don't even want to ask questions. I want to shower this man with compliments. That's what I want to do.
Go ahead, Mike, shower him.
Mr. Rickles, may I call you Mr. Rickles?
Well, King would be better, but okay.
King, anything you want. You, sir, are the greatest.
Well,
it's,
thank you.
It's quite simple. You are quite simply my favorite comedian of all time. I have watched you for my entire life. You are an icon. You are a role model. You are the greatest.
Oh, come on.
That's it. I love this man. I do. I've seen this man in Atlantic City. I've seen him on TV for years.
I'm not doubting his greatness.
Yes, I love Rickles.
You sound like you want to go fag on him.
I do. I mean, I love Rickles. I just had to say that.
Call
right?
him Mr. Rickles.
Well, that's wonderful. The check is in the mail, but I appreciate it.
How are you, Don?
Pretty good, thanks. Everything going good for me. Thank you.
Don Rickles? Mike, why are you looking at me like that?
Nothing. I'm just excited. I'm grinning because we have Don Rickles finally on the show.
What have you wanted to ask Don Rickles? Don, you have to know that of all the people that we've ever had on our show, you would be one guy that Mike O'Mara and this other Claude that's behind me, Rob Spiewak, you are the one guy that they are dying to talk to. And now that you're here,
I've got questions.
Their sphincters are getting very tight. Well, then
it's all about the process. I mean, everybody knows that you are the definitive insult comic. I think that's one way of describing what you do. But you've been doing it for so long and so successfully. I'm just curious. How do you keep that edge with that style of comedy that you do, where you got to be on? And, I mean, you have to be so on every single night when you perform. How do you do it after all these years?
Well, to be honest, guys, it's not something you rehearse. It's not something I practice. It's in my personality ever since I was a very young man, even when I was a kid in high school and public school and all. I was always the class clown. And the whole thing is attitude. They call me the insult guy, which I never could shake, but it took me a long way. But it's not really the word insult always bothered me.
Right.
It's what it do is exaggeration. I make fun of people and exaggerate it. And it's never mean-spirited. Otherwise, I wouldn't be headlining all these years, thank God. So I just get out there and I do attitude. In other words, and it becomes a joke after the attitude. It's like talking on your show is a waste of time.
Don, this is Don. I'm not the mega fan that these guys are, but I'm a fan nonetheless. And I got to tell you, I thought when you were on the Regis show the last time, man,
yeah,
you killed. You were like, my God, it was like I was watching you on the Johnny Carson show. You were talking about, I mean, and this was going a mile over Regis's head. You were talking about how there was some black guy in the audience, and then you said to Regis, you better watch your dressing room. You're making all the great old jokes, and Regis is just...
I'm curious how that's changed over the years, because, I mean, as society gets less sensitive,
killed.
Gets more sensitive, I mean, you got to be kind of aware of that. How have things changed from, say, when you were hanging around with the Rat Pack in the 1960s? How has it changed as far his audience is today? What's, well, is there any major difference?
As you just said, some of the young comedians or guys coming up, or even politicians, that some of this stuff becomes mean-spirited, or it's not done with which I think very proudly is done with taste, and it's something to this very day. I have I'm a lefty, so I throw my left hand punch and I never take it back, because anytime in my heart, not to be corny about it, but in my heart I never find it offensive, and I always laugh about it, because I just kid about life and all race, creeds, and colors.
Yes.
And I make fun of myself too. So there.
I would imagine that Don Rickles, when you're out and you know, and everybody knows that you know, you used to hang, you still do with Bob Newhart, and you guys would socialize and you go on vacation together. I would imagine it would just seem to me what would piss me off if I was Don Rickles would be out and about, you're on vacation, and somebody walks up and says, "Hey, Don, insult me." Do people ever do that to you?
Oh, constantly. But, you know, I'm very flattered, because I'm very approachable. For example, Robert De Niro, I got to know. We did a picture called Casino. People like that, like Clint Eastwood, who was a great guy. The people are afraid to approach him. Me, I walk down the street in New York, and guys are yelling from, you know, guys with hard hats are yelling from the building, "Hey, hockey puck, hey, Rickles, you yo-yo." So I'm very flattered with that, because I'm very approachable.
Don, I wouldn't define you as an insult comic. I define you as someone who speaks the truth. I really would. You say what's on your mind, and you mentioned that movie Casino. My God, it was a hard scene for you to make and a hard scene to watch. But I got to tell you, I laugh every time that guy hits you in the head with the phone.
Yeah, well, Joe Pesci believed it. After each take, he lit up a cigar and thought he was Al Capone. So.
He got into the role, didn't he?
Yeah, Joe's a good guy. But, you know, they had a rubber suit on me, but still, I was a wounded soldier. But Jews can handle it.
If you don't mind looking back a little bit, you look back at the early days of the Johnny Carson show, and it just seemed like back in the day, you could have so many different guys on that set at one time. And was it kind of a big party? Was everybody having a good time when you'd be paneling with like three or four people? Like if there'd be a Bob Hope or a George Gobel or somebody sitting up on the set?
Yeah, well, I got the reputation, and Johnny said that too, rest his soul. I miss him terribly, because he was magnificent at what he did. But Johnny even said, when I had Rickles on, it was an event. And people used to say that, yeah, young people, older people say, "Hey, Rickles is on tonight." And Johnny would have notes, as we all do on all these talk shows. But when we got to the notes, for example, I would sit down and say, "Hi, Johnny." He'd say, "How's your mother?" I'd say, "You never liked my mother. What are you bringing up my mother?"
And then it would just roll from there, right?
That's right. And we would do like 20 minutes on my mother, not knowing what each one was going to say.
The Matador, and you're known for that. And also, one of the things I continue with the compliments. The Matador is, I've always thought, as far as a comedian, comedians are not known necessarily for entrances, but you've developed it into probably one of the great entrances. In fact, I love your entrance. It's my, one of my favorite parts of your show. When you come out, where did the Matador come from? Did it come from you, or did somebody give it to you? How did that work?
Well, no. My birthday is in May, and Taurus, the bull.
Right.
And years ago, I went to Madrid, Spain, with my wife and all, and I was invited there was a guy called Carlos Arusa, who was a great matador, and I met him in Tijuana when he was fighting, and he came to see me in Vegas, and he always used to sit in the back and go, "You crazy guy, you crazy, I fight the bull, you fight the people, you crazy guy." And ever since then, I loved Carlos, and I used to kid around and go, "Toro, hey." And I started to do that on the stage, and I loved it, because I thought my image was like the bull, the guy that was aggressive and coming out there trying to wipe out the crowd.
I would imagine that when you're doing the show after all these years, this many live performances, have you ever gotten yourself into a situation where someone was on the wrong side of one of your lines and didn't care for it too much? Did anything ever really go south for you when you were performing live?
Well, I think, I've been asked that question. You know, guys, when you sell yourself, you have a radio show, everybody, and you're a great show, but I'm sure there's a guy in Iowa or someplace that don't particularly like you. Because,
right. We suck.
Why? Because you're selling yourself.
Right.
We don't have, all of us, we don't have a toy in front of us or a vacuum cleaner or it's your own personality. So not everybody loves me. But I must say that when I stand out on the stage, I thank God, I'm sure that people walk out and say, "This guy I didn't particularly like." By the way, I'd like to get that name. But I've never had it an outward kind of thing where I was somebody was really showed their how much they didn't enjoy me. I mean, I'm sure there were occasions I could look at somebody's expression and know they didn't love Don Rickles. But so be it. You can't please everybody.
Now, you know what? Here's another Don Rickles memory I have, a CPO Sharky.
Oh, yeah. Great show.
And I'm not doing this with an IMDb thing in front of me. I'm just thinking Don Rickles. I remember when you had that show, that show was hysterical because you were just Don Rickles wearing a sailor suit.
Right.
You were just being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
While you were on that show.
Well, absolutely. And I'm sorry, Aaron Rubin, who wrote the Andy Griffith Show, he was a fine writer, and he wrote that, and I you're right. I did play myself, and I thought that was one of my better shows, and I was disappointed when it was canceled, but that was my name in television. They always kid me. Johnny always kid me and said, I guess your next show will be 10 minutes, you know, because it was always, I was known to have shows canceled, because the problem was, you know, I was larger than the box, as they called it. Mm-hmm. You know, I came on like gangbusters, and you had to come down a couple of notches when you're on TV, and over the years I learned that, but and then by then the boat had sailed.
If you don't mind, I'm just going to throw names at it. If you could just tell me what you think of these guys.
Sure.
You know, because you've known so many. Frank Sinatra, for example. Well, you know, your impressions of Frank. I mean, you were friends with Frank Sinatra. You performed with Frank Sinatra.
Right. By the way, I hope you read my book, Rickles' book.
Rickles' book. I have Rickles' book. It's on my nightstand. I actually bought his book. Nobody sent it to me for free. I actually went out and bought Rickles.
Oh, that's very sweet. I'm sorry. I broke your. I guess that hits your salary pretty heavy.
Hold on, before you give him another name.
Yes.
Here's another way that I know Don Rickles from. I love the Dick Van Dyke Show, and I remember you had a recurring role. You were the guy that was being held
up. Wild Delp was the guy's name.
Yeah, the guy. You were in the elevator with Laura
Petrie. Right, with a comb holding up Marion.
What? And that was a recurring role. Now, give me the timeline on that. That was the early 60s. Were you on the Carson Show by that time?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. In fact, I was just with Dick the other night. And to this day, he's a great guy. Dick is my age now. Both of us sitting down having a couple of drinks, laughing together. And he even said, you know, Don, it always comes up about you playing Lyle Delp, me in the elevator. And then I did another segment where I went to prison. And
yeah. Oh, right. Rob had to go do the show in prison and ended up in prison as one of the prison guys.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, that's right. And so that was quite a while ago.
Didn't Frank Sinatra actually play a practical joke on you, you know, early
many,
on?
Many.
But right at the beginning.
The original question was my opinion of Frank Sinatra.
Right.
Yeah.
He was, you know, in my beginnings, he was one of my great heroes because when I was struggling in Florida and just starting to get a name in Miami, a name in a smaller club, he was the guy that came to see me, and he brought all his guys, and they all said, is it funny, Frank? And he said, absolutely, and they all went, funny.
Frank thinks it's funny.
Yeah. So that he was a great influence on my career. He and Johnny Carson, I would say, are the two guys that really had a lot to do with making Rickles whatever he is.
I got a feeling when you watch Johnny Carson. I'm sorry, right. But one thing. Did Johnny Carson give you the most latitude out of anyone when you would go on his show? Because it seemed you would just go out and sit down, and he would just let you go.
Well, he did that. I don't know of any other person that he might have, but I always had great leeway with him, and it always turned out to be an exciting, fun time. And I find that somewhat. I was on with Jimmy Kimmel just recently, and Jimmy's an adorable guy, and he gave me 1 hour of the whole show for myself, and that was fun.
Do you find the young guys?
Letterman has a lot of Johnny Carson in him. He really does. And he gives you space to roam, and I have a good time with him.
I think that's important. We've talked about this on the show, that the one thing when you look at Johnny Carson, you go back and you look at the interviews, he really would let the talent just roll. He would let you have as much as you needed to get the job done, wouldn't
he? Well, we call it, he left spaces. You know, I would do like a good snappy couple of minutes on him, and he said, are you through? And then he'd come up with a gem remark like, you know, is that your best shot, Rickles? Now can we go on with the show? You know? So he was always in there, but as you said, he always left a nice hole for you to go.
And that's because he trusted you, because he knew that you wouldn't F it up.
Absolutely.
What about Regis Philbin? This guy crawls up, wants to give you a prostate exam. He wants desperately to be your friend. Here's what I want to know. Is he really your friend, or is he your showbiz friend?
No, he's really a friend. I know him about 45 years at his very beginnings, and he knows me pretty good. And Regis is the kind of guy that he's a very lovable guy, and I have a great deal of fun with him. We share the stage together. We've toured together on a couple of things, and I always rib him about.
Now I just remember. Excuse me for a second, Don. When you were on with Regis the last time, This is what makes Don Rickles great. You're the only guy that could do this. You sat down with him for a second, and he said something like, oh, I'm not feeling great. And you're like, God, how long are you going to milk this thing? Oh, I got a heart attack. I got a heart attack. That was vintage Don Rickles. Beautiful stuff.
And how are you doing? Don, how are you feeling? How's your health? How's everything going?
Well, I've been blessed, thank goodness. Yeah, you know, at 81, clock ticks, but I feel great.
Man, that is awesome. I really hope that you just keep on keeping on and keep doing it because you, I think you're a role model to a lot of young comedians, a lot of people coming up in show business. It's the ability to ad lib, which is important in so many areas of show business, and nobody does it like you do. You have to, every time you live, you're live performing, you have to be out there and you have to respond to whatever people give you. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you. As you say, I have a beginning, middle, and an ending, and each night my show changes, I would say, to 10%, to which is quite a bit, with my surroundings. And so people that have seen me maybe 3-4 weeks and then come back and see me again say, geez, he did a different show. Not really, but it looks that way because I don't set things except, you have to have an opening and a middle and then an ending.
And Don,
I don't really set it.
Isn't a lot of it dependent on who's in the crowd, who you eyeball?
I deal with that too, sure. Especially if they're celebrities, then I really get myself crazy.
And of course, you're on the Don and Mike show right now, and you've heard a lot about the Don and Mike show. And I know
that's my life.
I know you're a tremendous fan.
I said to the wife the other day, if I don't answer Don and Mike, I'm leaving you. And I'm married 42 years.
He's a huge fan. When's the last time you went on vacation with your buddy Bob Newhart?
Well, not since after 9/11. Before 9/11, we went on a steady basis. But ever since 9/11, we haven't been away together for many reasons. Not only that, but because he's got grandchildren now, and I have two grandchildren, and we have a lot of family obligations. So we're hopefully to get one more shot in there together, but I don't know if that'll happen.
I want to tell you, there's a guy on the show, this Claude Rob Spiewak, who's my best friend, and we travel a lot together. Our families travel together. And I don't know, but I guess it was on our, we took a trip to Europe together with our families. And at one point, I became Rickles, and he was Bob Newhart. And no one really understood what we were talking about the whole time. I would say to him, hey, Newhart, where do you want to go? Oh, shut up, Rickles.
But anyway, we have a thing. It's funny you should say that. Don, are you Don or Mike? Which one are you?
I'm Don.
I thought we were in Munich, Germany, and I always remember that. And we'd sit down in a restaurant, and the waiter would come over and say, so what would you like to order? And I said, I'd like to have both of us with, like, a nice sandwich. And Newhart would say, don't do that. Don't start that. Get me walk down the street, and I pick up my leg high in the air. You don't like a Nazi walk? He said, what are you doing? Well, I said, my leg hurts me. Don't do that.
And really, this Claude Rob Spiewak is a bigger fan of
yours. Oh, yeah, he's been waiting to talk
Mike
to you.
Is.
Oh,
Rob, say hi to Don.
How you doing, Don?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for being a fan. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're the best. No, I just have to build on what Don just said about you traveling with the Newharts. Your styles of comedy could not be much more different. How did you two get mixed up together?
Well, it's apples and oranges.
And what do you see in that guy?
But you know what the funny part of it is? We are different. He's from the Midwest, and I'm from New York. And when we're in Paris, he's reading the New York Times to find out the stock report, and I'm trying to find out if the Dodgers won in the ninth inning. but the basic thing is we both have the, not to be corny, but to be truthful, we both have the same basic values of life and family. And when we're together, we laugh our you-know-what off because we're able to kid around together and have the best time because Bob is a different guy when you're alone with him socially. He comes on with some pretty heavy stuff and fun together, and we both sit at the table while the wives talk. But he says, oh, Rickles, you're going to say that again. The key is the wives. I don't know if you guys know that, but the two wives, if they get along, guys always make it. And Bob's wife and my wife are like sisters, and so that helped our relationship.
You know, I have to ask you, since we've had such a nice conversation with you, Don, you've been you've done so many television shows, so many radio shows. You've been interviewed all over the world. How would our show rate, as far as how would you find the experience? Have you enjoyed yourself on this
show? I find this show weak.
Thank you. Yeah, well, tell me something.
I thought I would skyrocket with this show, but I could see I'm right in the dumper.
Tell me something.
And now I got to look for day work.
Don's new book is called
Rickles Book.
Rickles, a memoir. Get it at Amazon.com. He's at the Hilton in AC on August 10th through the 12th, and it is a true pleasure. Let me play your music again.
Yes, a little Matador back there. Don Rickles, a true honor to have you on the show. I've always wanted to have you on this show. It's been great talking to you.
And Don, I know Mike won't ask you this because he asks everybody, but you're it's almost too much to ask of you. Would you just say, hey, Don and Mike, shut up, you hockey pucks?
Sure. Hey, Don and Mike, shut up, hey? You're a bunch of hockey pucks.
Thank you, Don. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.
Great.
Thank you, guys.
Nice talking
to you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good luck.
There he is. What a great guy.
Cool. What a dick.
But he's good at it.
What a jerk.
81 years young.
Wow.
God bless him.
We got the nice Don Rickles.
Yeah, well, I think that's...
I think the real Don Rickles,
I think
right?
That's maybe the radio interview Don Rickles. Mm-hmm. I really do. I wanted to... I was trying to egg him on a little bit, you know?
I had one great moment with him before he went on air when I picked up and I, you know...
Is
I
that said, when you made?
That's when I... Yeah, yes. That's right. Why I'm not in the same pants anymore. I said, they're going to be with you in 90 seconds, Don. And he just paused. He said, okay, Rob.
And that's when Rob wet his pants.
Yes.
But very, Mr. Rickles also did, in fairness.
Yes. What are you looking at, you hockey puck?
That's young Rickles right there.
That's from Toy Story.
Is it real? Real? Oh, yeah. So it's not that young Rickles.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Warmth himself, Don Rickles.
Nice to see you in a red shirt, right in the front. That's class. I never entertained a Mountie. $40 million Americans, I gotta get a dummy Mountie right here in the front. Hello, dummy. Yeah. And he waved to me yet. I said, hello, dummy. And he went, he knows me. I'm a Mountie.
Oh, man. That was fun. That really was fun.
That was great.
The great Don Rickles. When we come back, we'll make a total left turn. We have more dogs outside.
Yes, we do.
We have, how many dogs now out there, Robbie?
Oh, I don't know.
Three or four
dogs are just roaming around outside.
There's no poop yet on the jersey yet.
Oh. Three or four more to the other side. And always give credit when a good idea deserves credit. Mike.
Because it's something about Matt that just gets my creative juices.
I want to keep him out of the show. And Mike wants to keep him in.
Sure. Now, it's not exactly like that. I simply
said,
know you want to give him a little hiatus.
It's exactly like that. Because
I said the only way we could get him in the show.
First. He's already been annoying off the radio.
Yes,
during the commercials, he comes by and he goes, hey, guys, how about if I go get some dog food? or, hey, guys, maybe I can run around outside. I mean, wasn't he running by with all that stuff?
He's like a little dog. He's like a little dog bouncing around the hallway.
So I said to him, no, just go to the back room. And then Mike says, and it's a great idea, what about if we fill Matt's mouth up with water and make dogs drink water out of Matt's mouth.
Huh? Hey, you like that?
I do like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it'll be a good sound, too. Matt's going to have to open his mouth really, really wide and let the dogs drink out of it.
Very wide. And, oh, my goodness, if it was another time, the dogs could actually do a Michael Vick in his mouth.
Yes, they could. Yeah, in another land far, far away. Unfortunately, that can't happen. Hey, wouldn't he be a special intern after that?
Yes, he would.
That hockey puck.
He'd do it, too.
Sure he would.
Probably.
Really, when he said about the dog food, hey, you want me to go get some dog food? Yeah, and then I'll put it where the sun doesn't shine.
What are you looking at, you hockey puck?
All right, so we got dogs coming down trying to go crap on a Michael Vick jersey, and Matt the intern, who Mike insists on bringing into the show again.
I'm gay for him.
When we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.